opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Today is March 23rd, 2013, and I'm Mark Kent. I'm your host. I'm not sure who I am there for a minute. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda.
Good morning.
And our soundboard operator and all-around great guy, Bob.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
And let's get right to it. I'm going to go into my first quote, which is, truth is not determined by a majority vote. Do you have any veterans events?
Yes. Don't forget, we have Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans coming on March 30th. That'll start at 10 a.m. It'll be at 1605 Yuba Street.
Okay.
So get out there and show your support for that.
And we have Gun Owners of California dinner tonight.
Yes, and it is sold out.
Starting to sound a little bit like Marge Simpson. Hey there,
home.
I was going to say, our special guest host is Brenda Vaccaro.
Homie!
Yeah, thanks, guys. Love you, too.
Yeah. So the reason we're in a little bit of a hurry is that I wanted to get right to this Greg Hunter USA Watchdog, and it's a little bit long today, so I wanted to get through it, but it's a good one. And so here's Greg Hunter from USA Watchdog, and then we'll be right back with more stuff.
Hello, I'm Greg Hunter. This is the weekly news wrap-up for Friday, March 22nd, 2013. I'm talking about three stories, and just three stories only today in the wrap-up, but they're three big ones. Number one, the whole Cyprus banking crisis. Number two, President Barack Obama's trip in the Middle East and some of the things that are hanging over our head. And finally, the Fed's decision this week, which is not a surprise, is to keep on printing lots of money to prop up the economy. Let's start with this Cypriot banking crisis. A little country in the eastern Mediterranean, it's only a couple of tenths of a percent of the Eurozone GDP. You may think it's a small deal, but the whole world is this interconnected ball of junk. You know, they were going to take depositors' money, you know, like 7% below 100,000 and, you know, 10% above 100,000 euros. And, boy, but they voted, boom, that voted down. And now they've come up with a deal. We'll protect the insured deposits, the little people. And, but the people who are uninsured, the uninsured accounts, the uninsured portions of that money, well, that's just kind of up for grabs. Read Russians, and some of which are connected to the KGB. Now, I don't care who you are or what people are doing with their money, laundering it or whatever. You can't just steal money from people. I mean, as if the United States doesn't launder, have banks that launder money. I mean, HSBC in December, a $1.9 billion fine for what? They admitted to laundering money for Mexican and Mexican drug cartels. And Colombian drug cartels, and doing business and laundering money for countries on our terror list like Iran. I don't care who you are, you can't steal people's money. And if I was going to steal somebody's money, it wouldn't be anybody tied to the KGB. What could go wrong? You don't think they're going to hold a grudge? You don't think there's going to be consequences for this? They're working this thing out, and who knows what it's finally going to look like, but no matter what they come up with, I don't see how it works out to where the day they opened the banks back up, which was supposed to be yesterday, incidentally, and they said, oops, no, it's next week. I think it's Tuesday, but that could change. on the day they open the banks up, I don't see how this works out where people aren't going to flood the banks, both physically and electronically, to remove all their money, thus imploding the Cypriot banking system. I don't see how that doesn't happen. And then what happens if they have capital controls that says, well, you can't take your money. Oh, you can only take out, you know, 300 euros a week. Then they're going to tie up all that money, and that's really kind of a form of theft where they just tie it up where you can't get it out. And what do you suppose the countries in, you know, the other fringe countries in Europe that have had all this trouble, particularly Spain, which is the granddaddy of them over there, and a giant, you know, debt problem with their housing over there. You've got other problems in Italy, Portugal, Ireland, and let's not forget Greece. French banks aren't doing very well either, last I heard. Great Britain isn't doing so hot either. They're calling for more quantitative easing of sterling, more money printing in Great Britain, because they can't stand the austerity. What happens when these people look at these Cypriots where all the news reports where they're lining up at ATMs and there's no money and lining up at the banks and there could be capital controls and downgrades from S&P and Moody's? And what happens if they implode, and wouldn't that freak some people out? Don't you think that might cause some banking problems and run on banks in other parts of the European Union? Well, listen, what happens in Cyprus won't stay in Cyprus. My friend Gregory Manarino, who's a trader and an analyst, says that that Cyprus is the spark that could light the fuse that sets the Eurozone on fire. I hope he's wrong, but I'm afraid he's not. President Barack Obama in the Middle East, making a tour, the biggest stop, the stop of stops, is in Israel. They've had a tough relationship between Obama and Netanyahu, the prime minister. Barely cordial, although on this trip they look like they're, you know, buddies. And yesterday Barack Obama gave a speech in Israel, and I got to tell you, I watched it all. I played some of it back. Masterful. He did a great job. Fantastic job. Really. I can't poke any holes in his speech. I mean, he talked about a two-state solution, how the Palestinians ought to have their own homeland, how the Israelis ought to have the right to have their own homeland. He talked about Syria. That's a big problem. He talked a little bit about Iran and how, you know, he'd like to give negotiations, you know, diplomacy a chance, although he didn't outline any new ideas in diplomacy to get Iran to knuckle under and either change or allow inspectors into their nuclear program or whatever, to scale back that nuclear program, which the Israelis fear that one day they'll have a nuclear weapon and they'll use it on them. He didn't bring up Hamas, which is really only in a ceasefire in Gaza. That's the south of Israel. The Syrian thing is a colossal mess. It is the Hatfields and McCoy, tens of thousands with 50, 60,000 dead already. And it's spilling into places like Turkey and Lebanon. And then the granddaddy question of them all is about Iran. And, you know, recently the president said that, we're not going to give you unlimited time. You don't have unlimited time. He also said recently that he said that in his speech too, that we're not going to give you unlimited time, and we have Israel's back. But he also said that Iran may have a nuclear weapon within a year, and he quote, "We don't want to cut that too close." And again, there were no new outlines, ideas for how to use diplomacy with Iran to get them to scale back or stop or change this nuclear program. Meanwhile, the leader of Iran said that if his country's attacked, this was yesterday, if his country's attacked, he will level Tel Aviv and other Israeli cities. Does that sound like we're headed for peace in the Middle East to you? Because it sure doesn't to me. I didn't even put this story on my site this week. The Federal Reserve, they had their big meeting this past week, and they decided to keep printing money. Wow, what a surprise. And you would think, you keep hearing this, oh, we're going the right way, oh, we're having this recovery. we have a recovery. Have you heard this recovery word enough? Since I've been doing my website in 2009, I've been saying there's no real recovery. I think John Williams at ShadowStats.com said it best when he said, yeah, it's just bottom bouncing. That's all it is. We had a recovery in 2009. We had a recovery in 2010. More recovery talk in 2011. Oh, more recovery talk in 2012. And, 2013, more recovery talk. And you would think that the economy's just going great. New market highs. And here's the way they portray this, for example, the mainstream media. I'm using USA Today. Fed to keep goosing economy. Fed to keep goosing economy. Like, they're just pushing it up a little bit, and yeah, what can go wrong? Never any real hard questions about, hey, what happens if we print too much money? History is clear about what happens when you print too much money. You have inflation, and you could have hyperinflation, and the wheels could come off your economy. I mean, imagine living in a country where your money goes poof, right? They never talk about the downside of printing $85 billion a month, $40 billion for the banks, $45 billion to buy treasuries, our own debt. That's $85 billion a month times 12. That's more than $1 trillion a year. What could go wrong? Never any type of comment or commentary or introspective on, hey, maybe we shouldn't be, we had QE1 that didn't work, QE2 that didn't work, QE, Operation Twist, now QE, open-ended QE. Oh, 0% interest rates, you talk about stealing money from people. Well, the nice way to do it is to set the interest rates to near zero and give them below inflation money on their money, interest on their money. Some people say that's like stealing $400 billion a year out of the American economy. It destroys capital. Because there's no interest to live on. You got to start eating the eggs, right? Eating the chickens. Just take the eggs, right? And then Ben Bernanke says that, hey, there's no bubble in the stock market. Wow. Let's see. What did he say back in 2005 about the housing market? There wasn't a bubble. And then when cracks started happening and fissures, he said, well, it's subprime and that'll be contained. That'll be contained. The housing market, it'll just be subprime. You saw how well that analysis worked out. And now he says there's not a bubble in the stock market. People like Paul Craig Roberts not only says there's a bubble in the stock market, there's a bubble in the dollar, and there's a bubble in the bond market. And tie this all back around to Cyprus, this little country, this little black swan that could cause people to lose confidence in their banks with fractional reserves in the bank. Your bank doesn't have all this money here in the U.S. They don't have every dime that's in the bank. They loan that out. Remember, It's a Wonderful Life? And they're having a run on the bank, your money's in Mr. So-and-so's house, in Mr. So-and-so's business. Well, they have fractional reserve. Your money's not there. Everybody can't go to the bank and get their money out. But if that happens, it's going to be a calamity, no matter where it happens. Finally, I just want to thank everybody who comes to the site and comments. I appreciate all that. I like the debate. I like the comments. They're lively. I appreciate the folks that use the donation button because it helps offset the cost of the site. And that's a big help. It offsets some of the costs of the site. Well, that's the way I see it. I'm Greg Hunter. Thank you for supporting USAWatchdog.com.
Well, that's it for Greg. They did implement capital controls yesterday, by the way, in Cyprus. And we need to go right to a break and come back with our guests.
All right. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go. A short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This Sunday, it's Radio Hall of Famer Warren Duffy. His new book is entitled The Green Tsunami, a tidal wave of eco-babble drowning us all. He'll talk about how globalists have seized control of the environmental movement and what you can do to stop America's freedoms from being swept away. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to one to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to one on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny. When you're near, the rain goes, disappears here, and
that's
so
there.
It's all sunshine, lollipops. Yeah, you gotta like that. Yeah, it's all sunshine, lollipops, and we're in recovery. And there's some, I have some beachfront property in Arizona.
There you go.
Anyway, we're back and we have our caller on the line, Michael Conley from the United States Justice Foundation. Are you there, Mike?
I'm here.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, the fun never stops. It just goes on and on and on. Listen, Mike, give us a little bit of your background here. I know you're working with the United States Justice Foundation, and, you know, you guys are doing a lot of good over there. I see I'm on your website here, and I see you got a lot of projects going, one of them actually being the Obama eligibility, which is sort of a pet project of mine. But I think your big thing right now is working on the Second Amendment in veterans. But, yeah, if you'd tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
Well, I'm was a retired attorney. I practiced law for 27 years in Baton Rouge and moved to Dallas. And I kept up with constitutional law. I have my own blog on the Constitution. And I have a talk radio show on the Constitution. And I've written a booklet about the Constitution, among other things. And Gary Creep, who ran the U.S. Justice Foundation for 35 years since it was founded, was elected judge in San Diego. And he's an old friend of mine, so they asked me if I would come out of retirement, reactivate my license, and practice constitutional law as executive director of the foundation. So I agreed to do that, and we have a lot of stuff going on. We're working right now on cases in the Supreme Court and courts of appeals around the country, and we're fixing to get involved in this a veteran situation, which is just horrific as to what the VA and the Obama administration is doing to our veterans right now.
You know, I like to refer to it as the Obama regime, because I think we got past administration into regime some time ago, because the Constitution doesn't seem to mean anything to this person.
No, it doesn't. And he's violating his oath of office every day. He took the same oath of office, basically, that I took as an Army officer. And that is to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And there's actually a federal statute, very few people know this, but it's a criminal statute, that says if you take that oath, and of course the oath is taken by all employees of the federal government, elected or appointed, and the state and local governments. And it says that if you violate that and if you do anything to harm the Constitution or try to destroy it, you're in violation of your oath of office and you can go to jail for a year and be fined up to $10,000.
Well,
I wish we had a U.S. attorney out there who would go after him.
Well, that seems to be the problem. I mean, on the eligibility issues, there's so much evidence that shows that there's a problem here, whether it's, you know, whether he's eligible or whether the fact that there's documents, forgeries, you name it. And it just doesn't seem to, nothing seems to happen. This last week or the week before, there has been some people up on the Hill that are starting to look at the evidence on some of this stuff. But this guy just never seems to, he's like the Teflon Don kind of guy. It doesn't matter what he does. He doesn't seem to, he gets a pass.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, he's being protected by the national news media.
Absolutely.
People like NBC is having graduated from the Joseph Goebbels School of Journalism. You know, that was Hitler's propaganda minister, and that's all they are.
Yep.
They're no longer a news organization. Neither is ABC, CBS, or CNN, or the New York Times, or the Washington Post. They are propaganda organizations for Obama and for his philosophy. And his philosophy is that of socialism, or it could be communism, or, you know, who knows? They're so intertwined. But he, I don't consider him American. And that has nothing to do with the birth situation.
Right.
I don't think he was born in this country, but he's not an American whether he was or wasn't, because he doesn't believe in our ideals. He didn't believe in our Constitution. He wants to see this country brought to its knees. He wants to set himself up as a dictator.
Yep.
And he's doing that on a daily basis by violating the Constitution with executive orders and executive actions. And he's doing that now on gun control.
You know, there's two points that I'd like to make on that. With the media, number one, it was really funny this last week. I seen where the media, MSNBC to be specific, was attacking Ted Cruz on the debate that was going back and forth between Feinstein and him, and the MSNBC was attacking him, saying he needed to go back and read Heller. He didn't understand Heller. He didn't understand the case and all this stuff. Well, come to find out, he's the attorney that won the case. I mean, that goes to the media and their bias and their lack of information and their lapdog situation. And then the other thing I was going to talk about was the, you know, regime here as far as the untouchability. It doesn't seem, like you say, anything can happen with this guy because he's being protected by the media, and there's certain factions in the government as well that don't seem to want to look at any of the evidence.
Well, no, his people are pretty much in control. I mean, when you have the head of the Department of Justice, Eric Holder, who is a criminal himself, you know, he's going to protect Obama. He's going to attack anybody that tries to do anything about what Obama's doing. Operation Fast and Furious is a prime example. That was a criminal operation. That was negligence. It got American citizens killed, not to mention all the innocent Mexican citizens that were killed. And now we at the Justice Foundation are representing a family out in New Mexico that has actually been charged with crimes because they didn't do what the feds wanted them to do, act illegally. And these people are, you know, it's just a horrendous thing going on with them. There's a father and mother and two sons who had a gun store, and their store's been taken away, their ranch has been taken away, their home's been taken away, their bank accounts have been seized. They spent 18 months in jail, father and one son. They went through a trial, all of them. One son was found not guilty. There were 30 charges. The mother was found guilty of a paperwork violation. The father and son were found guilty of paperwork violations, a few of them. And in the meantime, the judge gets information and in a scathing opinion, attacks the U.S. attorney and says, what are you doing? The judge found out that the key witness against this family was a law enforcement agent out in New Mexico that the federal government used to try to gather information supposedly about this family. Well, this guy has been under investigation for several years as a member of the cartels.
Wow.
This guy is actually working for the drug cartels. So the judge has ordered a new trial. Well, the prosecutor, who wants to be a federal judge, wants to please Obama, so he's appealed the order for a new trial. So we've stepped in with the Justice Foundation, and we're going to represent this family for free and prepare the brief. And we're trying to raise money for that because everything we do is about the Constitution. And we need to talk about this veteran situation in a minute. But we always represent people for free. We charge them nothing. So we go out and we raise our money from independent sources so that we can finance our projects. 90% of the money we raise goes into projects just like this one, defending this family.
So they can donate if they want to. I believe they can go to USJF.net and find a place there on the website to donate to you guys to help you out with this stuff, I'm assuming.
That's correct. They can donate online, or they can send us a check to our address, and we're setting up a legal defense fund for the Reese family if they want to donate specifically to that. Just put it on the check or make a note when they make the donation, and we're going to be raising money for this veteran situation because we believe that's going to be a class action suit, and it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, but it's something that has to be done.
Yeah, very good. Listen, I think we need to probably go to a break right now because we got a little behind when our first segment took a little longer than I wanted, but it was important information. But we'll be right back, Mr. Connolly, and then we'll talk some more about the issues here.
This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Shasta County, this is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeter Built Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Can you smell it? That sweet, rich, woody smell. That smell that makes your taste buds tingle and your stomach flutter with excitement. That smell you smell is smoked. The best taste in barbecue. Brisket is here in a sliced pub roll for lunch or dinner. Only $7.50 with a choice of side. Or how about marinated riblets with a choice of side for only $6.50. All sides are made fresh with only the best ingredients. Smoked on airport at Rancho. 365-2085. Smoked. Ribs, chicken, and killer sides.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew, guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing, well, nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there.
We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio. Community Radio for the North State, and we're here with our guest from the United States Justice Foundation, Mr. Michael Connolly. And we're talking about the stuff that needs to be talked about that doesn't seem to get talked about too much of anyplace else. We've become the media, as have you, I see, Mike, as far as your radio show. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about that before we go into the Second Amendment stuff and the veterans.
Well, my show is on weekly. It's on America's Web Radio, and they can find a link to it on the USJF website or my own blog, which is michaelconnelly.jigsy.com. Has a link to the show also. We broadcast live at on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock Central Time. It's an hour-long show, and we talk about the Constitution and the issues facing the Constitution at this point. And we have a very large listening audience that's growing all the time, and people are concerned, and you can't blame them. I mean, it's just getting worse every day.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's this recovery thing is such a smoke and mirrors bunch of garbage. It's ridiculous, and people are going to get to a point here pretty soon where it's not, you're not going to be able to deny it anymore. This guy is sinking the economy, and he's doing it on purpose, in my opinion. So it is out of control, and we need to get, you know, the Constitution would just about pretty much fix most of this stuff. Maybe a little good dose of church or something prior to that, but the real deal is we are getting, the farther away we get from the Constitution, the less prosperous and the less self-government we have, the worse it's going to get.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Second Amendment is, of course, under major attack at this point because it's the cornerstone.
Yep.
I mean, one of my favorite bumper stickers, and I was one of the founders of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, and was on their board for 30 years, and I've been a referral attorney for the NRA over the years. And one of my favorite bumper stickers says, the Second Amendment ain't about duck hunting. And the people need to understand that the reason it was put into the Constitution and the reason it says it shall not be infringed, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, and it doesn't seem that the liberals out there understand what that means, it shall not be infringed. But it was put in there because the Founding Fathers had just fought a long and bloody war to gain our independence from Great Britain. And they were forming a new government. They didn't know if it was going to work. They didn't know what was going to happen, if it would turn into a tyranny. So they wanted people to stay armed. They wanted Americans to stay armed so they could resist tyranny.
From their own government.
From their own government.
Yep. Yeah, that's what people seem to get mixed up is they want to twist this into a bunch of stuff, the media. And if you look at the backdrop of everything that's going on out there, it's all of a sudden it's incredible that we got to go after the Second Amendment after this tragedy in Sandy Hook. And I saw some things the other day that kind of goes to what you were talking about, and we'll get into a little bit on the Facebook stuff, but it's now shown that there's some actors that were involved in the interviews that were working for the DOJ on the Sandy Hook stuff. So these guys are trying to take advantage of every opportunity to get rid of our constitutional rights, it seems.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the Second Amendment is important to them because they have to disarm the American people. If you look at in any dictatorship in history, and really, I point this out when I make speeches around the state of Texas, that if you look at Mein Kampf, and I read that when I was a kid, the English version.
Yep.
That's Adolf Hitler's book, My Struggle. And if you look at that and look at what he was wanting to do and how he ultimately did it in Germany, the first thing he did when he was elected chancellor, and he was elected, the first thing he did was nationalize health care.
Yep.
Because he figured if you can control access to health care, you can control the people. The second thing he did was disarm the German people, with the exception of those who supported him.
Yep.
The third thing he did was go after the military and get rid of the officers and enlisted men in the military who believed in their oath of office and believed in that they were sworn to defend their country and their constitution.
He got rid of those people. And Obama's been doing that here of late, it seems.
He's attacking them.
Yeah, exactly. He's attacking them. And he's going after the veterans. And this is what has us up in arms at this point. Here's basically, in a nutshell, what's happening. About a month ago, I started hearing from veterans who were saying, we're scared to go to the VA. We're entitled to treatment, but we're scared to go because they're asking us questions about do we own firearms, and things are starting to happen. Well, then I found out about some letters that were going out and had been going out. Now, for years, the VA has had what they call a fiduciary program, where if a veteran was, in fact, declared incompetent because they had dementia or some other problem and had nobody to help them take care of their affairs, the VA would appoint somebody to handle their finances, And, you know, this has been a program that's been around for a while, but it's been altered. And what's happening now is that they are putting veterans who are declared incompetent to handle their financial affairs, they're putting them on the list of people that cannot buy firearms, the National Background Checklist. And veterans are getting letters saying that we have been told that you might be incompetent. You have to prove to us that you're not. It's your own expense. You have to prove that you're not incompetent. If we declare you incompetent, you will be never allowed again to own, possess, or transport firearms or ammunition. If you do, you're in violation of federal law and can go to jail.
Well, that's in violation of the Constitution of due process in itself.
Right, exactly. There's no due process here whatsoever. And I wrote an article on my blog about a month ago, and I put it on the blog, and the response has just been unbelievable. I updated it here recently. I'm hearing from veterans all over the country. I'm hearing from family members. The law says that in order for somebody to be declared incompetent by the VA and put on the list of people that cannot buy firearms, they must be declared to be mentally ill and a danger to themselves or others. We have veterans who are getting this letter who have said something to the VA like, my spouse handles the finances for the family. That triggers this letter. If you go into the VA and you say, I just got back from Afghanistan, I lost a buddy over there, I'm a little depressed about it, that triggers the letter.
Unbelievable. Listen, Mike, I don't want to interrupt you, but we do have a caller on the line here, and I'm not sure if he has a question or not, but we wanted to get him in here because this is our biggest problem on our show here is we don't have enough time, and so we want to try to get it all in if possible. But Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Just wanted to know if you guys had read the editorial this morning in the Record Searchlight.
I saw something about LaMalfa being slammed for the letter about the DHS buying the bullets, but I didn't get a chance to read it very good.
Well, he spoke a bit about that last night at the Lincoln dinner that my wife and I were at. And, you know, the Record Searchlight could take this position of saying, seriously, Congressman, really, I mean, come on. You really think the government's doing that? I mean, 1.6 billion rounds, and I'm not really sure how they make bullets in a factory, but I would think that if you're making 45s and 38s, it means you probably can't be making 22s and 223s. I mean, just saying. But to say that the congressman is doing this for political purposes and to have that kind of slant is, I mean, I think they've gone beyond the pale this time.
Yeah, it's interesting that they don't really ask the question of, is that what they're doing? And maybe you can talk to that, maybe speak to that too, Mr. Conley, because is the Department of Homeland Security, have they been buying up bullets? I mean, that should be the question. And why? And instead of trying to slam the congressman for asking the question.
Well, no question about it, they've been doing it. In fact, they're doing more than buying up bullets. They're buying automatic weapons, or 1,700 at last count. For Department of Homeland Security and FEMA. They are buying Stryker military vehicles, and these are offensive vehicles. These are not armored personnel carriers. They're offensive vehicles. They bought, we think, about 2,300 of these. And I have people, including my own son, who is in Afghanistan right now for tour number six. He has actually seen these on rail cars in Phoenix when he was back in the States. I have people who have seen them on the streets in Alabama. And, you know, so they're doing a lot of this, and there could be several reasons. Number one is they're preparing for unrest and civil war in this country, possibly when the economy collapses or when they try to take away everybody's weapons. Or they could be just doing this to keep us from buying ammunition.
Well, it's getting to a point where the credibility of the left is so out the window, in my opinion. It doesn't even matter what they say anymore, because they're either so normalcy biased that they don't want to look at anything that has any that you know. I was going to ask a question in the paper. Gee, has this administration done anything wrong? You know, I mean, according to the left, this guy's golden. There's been no problems at all, and it just go ahead.
No, he can't do anything wrong. You're absolutely right. They don't allow it to be reported if he does.
Yeah, yeah, all of them. I mean, Fox. I mean, Fox is a little more conservative leaning, but they have protected the president as well. I mean, I have on several occasions. Sometimes a lie is omission as opposed to reporting.
Here's something that is interesting, though. The take of it, the bottom line for the Record Searchlight is they say at the bottom of this editorial, fear sells for gun shops and politicians alike. So they're saying that this is fear sells. And at one point they say, seriously, Congressman? Like, oh, are you kidding me? Do you really think this? I mean, to me, it gives me pause. And I struggle to take this paper anyway.
Right. It's like Greg Hunter. What could go wrong, you know?
Being in the media and speaking out about these things that you're talking about, I really appreciate you guys. And we need to have more programs like you. And we need to get the word out further than just local and maybe the state. We need to get the word out on as far as programs like yours, Mark. I really do appreciate your program.
Well, thank you very much, Terry. We appreciate your call. So let's get back on task here and get going here with some more information, because this is ridiculous. It's like, what could go wrong? I mean, you know, you got the government spending way too much money, and you know, they've been telling us we're in recovery for 5 years. They're printing $85 billion a month. You know, the economy's going downhill. All our manufacturing's overseas. They're buying up bullets. What could possibly, there's no problem here. Really? You gotta be an absolute idiot not to see that something's happening here. Sorry.
Yeah, man.
Did I rant there? Go ahead, Mike.
Well, now, like I said, they're disarming us. They have to do that. And back to this veteran situation again, we have veterans all over the country who have lost their rights. We now have gotten confirmation that 129,000 veterans are now on the list of people that cannot buy firearms. One guy in Arizona, a Vietnam veteran, wrote to me and told me, he said he was declared incompetent, hired his own attorney, fought it for 2 years, got the incompetency reversed, and by the way, he was declared incompetent because he had gone into the VA and told somebody, he says, you know, I'm getting older and sometimes I forget to pay my bills on time. Well, I'm 65 years old. I can't find my glasses half the time. You know, is that going to get me declared incompetent? But that was the reason that they gave him.
Wow.
And to make it appointed fiduciary, it took him 2 years to get the incompetency ruling reversed, but they still won't take him off the list of people that can't purchase firearms.
Well, I think with that line of thinking, Biden should be the first one on the list to be called incompetent, because this guy, every other word is a gaffe out of his mouth. Anyway, I'm sorry, I had to say it.
Well, no, exactly right. But, you know, the veterans around the country are giving us one horror story after another. I just got one in today from a veteran who, a VA doctor called his home and did not like the message on his answering machine.
Really?
He called it bizarre. So the next thing this guy knows, he's, 50 years old, never had any problems mentally. And the next thing you know, the police are at his door. They pick him up and take him for a psychiatric evaluation.
So it sounds like they don't want any combat veterans that have any experience being involved with anything where they might actually help people if there is a real problem. But I think we got to go to a break here real quick, and then we'll come back, and then we'll do the last 10 minutes here on whatever we can get out there. So
this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
How many years must a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
As we join
Calling Bob the Mount Shasta Spring Water Drop. We find him with new recruits.
Bob is cool and Bob is swell. He didn't come out of a well.
So, do you have what it takes to be Mount Shasta Spring Water?
Yes, sir. I'm pure and natural, sir.
And why are you here?
Because I don't want to be filtered, sir.
All right, drips or drops. You've got what it takes, so be pure and make America proud.
Bob is cool and he's on top. He's by far the coolest drop. Yes, sir.
Mount Shasta Spring Water. Pure and simple. Naturally the best.
And all American, too.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
Pulse Urgent Care welcomes back Dr. Richard Musselman, joining Dr. Clayton Reinhardt, Dr. Seeger Beatty, and family nurse practitioner Deborah Wright in Pulse's newly expanded facility. Pulse doctors are available to serve you for any urgent care needs 7 days a week from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Flu shots are now available. Pulse Urgent Care is on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart. Call 722-1111 or visit pulseurgentcare.com. Medicare and private insurances are accepted. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Upon a time, there was a tavern where we used to raise a glass or two. Remember how we laughed away the hours. Think of all the great things we would do.
Solid Mind Radio. We're back. Yeah, those were the days, and we thought they'd never end. Guess what? Wake up out there.
We need to get them back.
Quit singing and dancing and start getting involved. So we have Coach Bob on the line. Do you have a quick question for us, Bob?
Yeah, I'm confused about something. The library. Growing up here in Reading, I always had a library card. Always went there at the old location, the original location. Is that not a county-operated facility, or did the city take it over?
As far as I know, the city took over the library.
So the county has no responsibility whatsoever?
I'm not sure about that, but I do know that the county originally built it, and then it was given over to the city, and then it...
It was always a county library. It was the Shasta County Library, not the Reading City Library.
Right. But I do believe the city is in control of the library.
Does that make them responsible for the flag?
Yes, it does. But that has been an issue that's been an ongoing thing over the flag. I have been involved with that, with the flag down there at the library. Because the county shifted it over to the city. The city is trying to blame the county in one way. It's a very big process.
Yeah, let's
go in here.
Let's save that for another day. You know, we've got our guest on the line, and we want to kind of stay on the subject matter at hand. And, you know, maybe we can get some information, and we'll bring that up in another show.
Yeah, I can do that later. Like I say, I have been involved with that. So maybe we will do that in a later show
and bring that out. We'll get back to you on that, Bob.
Thanks for the call, though, Bob.
You bet. Mike, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. We get a local...
I wasn't sure where we were going with that.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of want to stay with Mr. Connolly here because we want to get as much information out there while we, you know...
Want to say to him, I know that it's not an isolated event with the veterans. I know there's a lot of veterans here in the North State. I shouldn't say a lot. There's a few that I personally talk to that are having the same problems in regards to their Second Amendment rights.
So they should be able to get a hold of the U.S. United States Justice Foundation and maybe get their information to you?
Yes, please. We want anybody out there who's a veteran who's having this problem or has a family member or a friend who's a veteran, go to usjf.net. Send us an email or call the office and leave your phone number. I will get back to you as soon as I can in maybe a couple of weeks. But we are in the process right now of compiling information about vets all over the country, because they're also being declared incompetent for physical disabilities. If they've lost an arm or a leg, you know, in combat, they're being declared incompetent, and their gun rights are being taken away. And so, you know, it's just getting worse by the day. And what we're doing is we're preparing actually three different actions, administrative actions to protect the veterans who've just gotten the letter and haven't been declared incompetent yet, and a class action lawsuit to go after the VA for declaring veterans incompetent who've lost their gun rights, and the third class of people who've gotten the competency issue resolved but are still unable to buy firearms. So they can contact us. We will represent them entirely for free. We'll give you a little questionnaire so we can get the information we need. Stuff will be held confidential unless you get this permission to, like, put your name on a lawsuit or something like that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm just getting angrier the more I'm thinking about this, because talk about the ultimate disrespect. You got guys over there that have put their life on the lines, lost limbs, you know, and now they're being railroaded by an administration to be held incompetent for, you know, after their service. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and they're the ones that put their lives on the line to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And this is their reward.
Yeah.
They're being slam dunked by the administration. This is accelerated over the last 3 years. Letters are going out wholesale. I've seen copies of these letters. I've got copies of these letters. I mean, the letter says that you can be declared incompetent for physical or mental disability, PTSD. If somebody has a case of PTSD, that does not make them mentally ill and a danger to themselves or others. Yet, if you got PTSD, you're pretty much automatically going to be declared incompetent and unable to handle your own affairs and go on the list. And, you know, and then we have idiots like Dianne Feinstein, who says that basically, she says all veterans have PTSD and therefore none should be allowed to own firearms.
Well, I think
and then
that
she turns it.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I think that should apply to all politicians at this point, that are, you know, defending, the Marxist, plan here. Cause that's really what's going on here. I mean, they use any excuse in the book to attack the American people as opposed to attacking the sources of the real problems, you know, whether it's mentally ill, you know, they go after the veterans instead of the people that are mentally ill. You know, this whole thing with the gun control deal, they haven't even talked about actually going after anybody but the American law-abiding citizens, and it just makes me so angry I can't even hardly see straight.
Exactly. That's Operation Fast and Furious was about that. It was not about the drug cartels. They never arrested anybody in the drug cartels. They put 2,500 weapons in their hands, and the whole idea was to do what they're doing to the Reese family, and that is to try to shut down and put restrictions on law-abiding firearms dealers in the states of Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, and California. That was what it was all about. There are emails out there that have been come to light that show that's what it was all about. So, you know, you have the Dianne Feinsteins out there who are readily attacking American citizens, honest American citizens, law-abiding, and particularly the veterans. They have to disarm. There are 21 million veterans in this country. We're trained to handle firearms. We're trained to fight. They're scared to death of us out there.
Well, they ought to be the way they're acting. I mean, you know, we're all being accused of being extremist and right wing. Well, you know something? I think it's pretty extreme, to try to get rid of the Constitution and not follow it. And I think it's pretty extreme to attack the American people and get rid of all their rights. So these people they're criminals. And, you're absolutely right. We got about 2 minutes left here, Mike, and I'm kind of getting angry. So I'm going to let you, get the last minute or so here before we have to get off here, but get whatever information out there you need to, and you know, if we don't have time, I want to say you've been a great guest and we want to have you back as soon as possible.
Well, appreciate it, Mark, and thank you for having me. Yeah, people need to support us and people need to contact us if you are a veteran and having these problems. USJF.net is our website. We're going to be updating stuff on the website so we can keep everybody informed of what we're doing. We're doing many other projects in addition to the Reese family situation and the Second Amendment situation for the veterans. We've got other projects going. You can find out how to donate to us. If you want to check me out and get my bio and all that, that's on the website. You can also go to my personal blog and website at Michael Connelly, Connelly.jigsy, com, and you can send me an email, and I'll put you on the mailing list so that you'll be notified whenever I post a new article on the constitutional issues.
Very good.
And you can also check out my radio show. So
very good. And are you streaming on your radio? Is it on the web? Where do they go to do that?
It's on the web, and they can go to America's Web Radio.
Okay,
and they also can find a link on my website.
Well, we're out of time.
Thank you so much, Michael, for coming on. We really appreciate it.
You're born an original, don't die a copy. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And this is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
And the Kurt Largent Show is up next here on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. The White House releases a statement praising the budget blueprint passed by the Senate very early this morning. Fox's Chad Pergram at the Capitol.
The vote was 50-49, again, a very razor-sharp margin to demonstrate to you just how controversial these budgets are. But they did, in fact, eke it out. They got it across the finish line 50-49 by one vote. Not a single Republican voted yes. Not a single Republican voted yes. But you had four Democratic no's. Mark Begich of Alaska, Kay Hagan of North Carolina, Max Baucus of Montana, and Mark Pryor of Arkansas.
It includes both spending cuts and tax increases, which the Republican-led House version does not, so there's a big gap to bridge. Utah Senator Mike Lee criticizing the Democrats' proposed tax hikes in the Republicans' weekly message.
They also have no plan to save our entitlement programs, even though everyone, even the president, knows that doing nothing to address the exploding costs of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security